So, we're here today to talk about themed base parties. We have a couple different themes today. We have a fiesta theme, and then we also have a Kentucky Derby theme party. I think we'll get started with the fiesta theme. So, my mother-in-law, her 60th birthday was yesterday. I don't know when you're listening to this or when it's going to actually be released. So we decided to do a, she does really like and enjoy Mexican food. She is from an Italian family, so we're trying to do something a little bit different than your normal pasta. Your baked pastas and ziti's and all that
Marinara
stuff.
sauce and all
Yeah,
that stuff.
marinara sauce. So we wanted to do something that, it's a little different and a little bit more kind of festive too. And that's more fun than a taco bar,
Exactly.
honestly.
A fiesta.
Fiesta.
The name itself right there shows what it
It
is.
means party, yeah. An easy appetizer that I did was just tortilla chips. I have a preference for Tostitos scoops. You can get a lot of the salsa in there.
It's the best. On me
Yeah,
too.
I don't know whoever invented that shape. It was amazing. So good job. It's almost like
A bottle cap.
a bottle cap or
A
like a
bottle cap,
mini
a little
taco
bigger.
bowl for a taco salad.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was amazing. But I did buy some of the salsas, which is a nice shortcut, and you don't have to always make everything from scratch. But I did actually smoke my own salsa verde, which we'll get the recipe up for that too. Just because I didn't know everybody's spicy level. I did cut it with a little bit of canned mild salsa verde to cut out some of the spiciness. I did get requested that it should be spicier. But now I know for next time. I wanted to.
They were complaining that it was spicy.
It wasn't spicy enough for
For some people.
some people. Yeah, they're like, no, we can handle more. So I was I second-guessed myself there. I shouldn't have. Should have given the full spice.
Well, now you know.
I do know. So that was a nice appetizer, and that was easy because I did want to focus a lot on the meat. Which we'll get to in a little bit. I'll talk about the sides, and then we'll really get into, the heart of it all is smoked meat. So, Alex and his wife Laura, or his soon-to-be wife Laura, sorry.
Yes, I still have a whole nother year to decide if I'm gonna go through with it. I tell her every day, don't piss me off. I'm not gonna go through with it.
They were very gracious enough to make cilantro lime rice. Actually, I'm gonna give all the credit to Laura. Alex didn't do anything.
There you go.
So, the cilantro lime rice, which some party saving tips we'll get to later, to delegate some of the stuff to some folks. A lot of times folks want to help. That was definitely a time saving tip. So. That was really good. It was like it had fresh cilantro, fresh squeezed lime juice in there, and it was like I haven't had. It was almost. It also reminded me of almost like sticky sushi rice or something. It was like it was so good. Thank you very much for that.
No problem.
For the beans,
No, go for it.
For the beans, I did another shortcut. I took canned refried beans. Added some cream cheese in there. I did the bottoms of green onions or scallions, whatever you want to call them. And then I also added some drained cans of green chilies to kind of zhuzh it up and not just make it the refried beans. I baked in the oven to get it kind of bubbly and give it some more texture on top so it's not just mush. Then I topped it off with shredded, Mexi Blend cheese and then the tops of the green onions. Which Alex actually has a great taco tip for that. You want to talk about your bean taco tip
The
that
bean
I just
taco trick
learned
that I like?
that I just learned
It's
today?
very simple. It's a very simple culture thing. I'm not Mexican. I'm Brazilian, but South American. They make a regular beans, and then usually they put in a blender and pretty much make a smash with beans.
Yeah.
Could be black, could be brown, could be red. Does not matter. And when you make it that way, the beans tend to become a glue sort of thing. So it becomes like a mashed potato glue sort of thing when you're cooking, when you're eating it. So when you put it in a taco or anything, you put it in your plate, it acts like a glue. So when you put a rice on top of that, if you put a lettuce on top of that, if you put any meat on top of that, it will catch it. And once it catches it, it holds on to it. So I told her, like everybody, when you're making a taco, if you want to eat a little bit of everything, put the beans in there and then throw everything on top of the beans and the beans will hold it there. So when you're taking a bite out of it, it's going to have a taste of everything.
I just learned this today and it's completely game changing.
Yeah, it is. That, well, to me, I'm more tactical. I want to have a little bit of everything as I'm eating every single bite.
Yeah.
And it's magical and it's good. And that's how I like it. I like it very simple, very old school, simple the way it goes. Because a lot of times when you have a lot of beans, you smash it. It tends to look like you had twice the amount you had before.
Mm-hmm.
It is not, but
it also works. Yeah, that I you told me that, and I was like, I've been eating tacos wrong this whole time.
No,
or
not,
burritos. Or, I mean, not wrong. Way you want it. It yeah. just falls out, and then you're just eating.
You're putting it back together and putting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my trick of what I like to do because it holds everything together. It doesn't become a messy eating frenzy ever.
Right. And then I also did a Mexican street corn salad. This also saves some oven or grill space for you. I took frozen corn. I drained it. I thawed it and drained it. I tossed it with some oil and I broiled it in the oven so it's nice and golden brown. So you get that almost kind of grilled taste and you get some of that sweetness and of the corn and also gives it some extra texture too. Another trick, especially if you're hosting some sort of fiesta, I actually bought like an eight pack can of Rotel. it's got your tomatoes and some chilies. You can even buy these already with cilantro and lime juice. You can buy spicier versions of it. I just had the basic version. I usually like to add my own spice mixture as it goes. I drained that, put that in the street corn. Added some fresh onion, again with the green onions and my scallions. I put the bottoms in there. I like to top it off the top so it gives it a nice, you know, visual. I put cajeta cheese, chili powder, zest and juice and limes to brighten it up. I also took a pound of bacon, diced it up, cooked it, you know, in a cast iron, drained it, cooled it, put that in there. I didn't put that, if you want to add some spice, you can also put some hotter chilies, jalapenos. I didn't know where everybody's spicy level is at, so I made it pretty mild. I did all this the day before, so the morning of, all I had to do was throw all these ingredients together. I only did about 6 to 7 tablespoons of mayonnaise, just enough to kind of get it together, but not so heavy, like, you know, some potato salads, some pasta salads that really hit the bottom of your stomach. So those were the sides that I decided to make. But on to why we're here, why we have a podcast. The meat. So I made 2 different types of meat for a little taco bar. I did chicken. I had boneless, skinless chicken thighs. We are making for tacos, so you don't have to really take it off the bone and stuff, so it is a little bit of a time saver, but initially I was going to cook it in the crock pot, but I have a smoker, so why not smoke it? And then I also did pulled pork, which was annihilated, so I'll share kind of my techniques with both of those meats for you. So the pulled pork, I did a quick brine of apple cider vinegar, salt, water, paprika, just for a few hours, like 3 or 4 hours. Drained it, rinsed it off. Then I did a rub, which will get has a lot of Mexican type flavors: chili powder, cumin, garlic, oregano, cayenne. And then I added that with some brown sugar, and to make sure it had a nice crust on it. I did that the dry rub 24 hours in advance. The night before, about I wouldn't say do this more than 12 hours in advance. I have a new toy. It's a meat injector. I took 4 oranges, juiced them, I zest them before I juice them. I reserved the zest for later, and I took about 2 cups of Modelo. You can use, you know, Corona or any sort of Mexican beer. Even if you wanted a little bit maltier version, you can even do like Negro Modelo. That's usually my favorite at a, you know, Mexican cantina restaurant is the Negro Modelo. I mixed that together and injected it to the pork. Because this was about a 7 to 8 pound bone-in pork butt, I did it about 8 times. It really just depends on how thick the pork butt is and what kind of cut it is. You know, kind of use your judgment. You don't want to over-inject it. And then I took the reserve of the beer and orange juice, and I was using it as the for baste as the pork was smoking. So I did have my pork butt in aluminum half pan to kind of keep those juices staying in there and kind of steam it a little bit. And I used a La Caja China, which is a roasting box. And it basically, it looks like a big wooden box, and you set the coals on top, and it's pretty much airtight, so it keeps all of that flavor in there. To get that wood flavor in there, I took a couple landscape blocks. I took an aluminum foil half pan. I soaked apple wood chips overnight. I drained them, and then I put another, probably about a half inch of water in there, so it set. It's hard to visualize when you're talking, but it sat just right under the coal, so it still got that steamy, smoky flavor throughout the cooking process. I got my pork butt in there. Probably roughly every hour or so, I was basting it with that reserve Modelo and orange juice just to make sure it was juicy the entire time. I didn't flip it at all. I kept it with the fat cap up the entire time, so as that fat was rendering, it was going down into the pork. And then the Fiesta chicken, so I had the pork going first because that's going to take longer. For the chicken, I did brine that for about 12 hours, the same brine mixture as the pork. Drained it, rinsed it off. I did the same dry rub. I did the same dry rub without the brown sugar about 24 hours in advance. And then what I did is I actually took a couple cans of Rotel, a couple onions. I drained the cans of Rotel, and I laid the chicken single layer. I had roughly about 6 pounds of chicken. There's a couple of spots where I did overlap just from the nature of the size of the full pan. But I layered that over a couple of fresh diced onions and the cans of Rotel, so that I also gave it some extra moisture because they're thinner. They didn't have the bone in or the skin on. I didn't want them to dry out too much, but I still wanted the bark on top. So I put those in the La Caja China after the pork was probably cooking for about an hour and a half. They took about an hour and a half or so to cook right after they came out. I didn't flip them or anything at all. I did baste them once right beforehand with some lime juice and apple cider vinegar, and then once about an hour in, with lime juice and the apple cider vinegar. Once they came out, I tented it with foil, and then cut it about 20 minutes later. You could probably get away with 10 or 15 if you're in a time crunch, but just to kind of make sure it was juicy. And then when the pulled pork was done, that took roughly about 4 hours. I tented that for a half an hour at least. It might have almost been 40 minutes, just because it's a bigger piece of meat. You want all those juices to come through, some folks were passing me by in the kitchen, sneaking little snacks of it while I was cutting it, and that was pretty much annihilated. The reason I didn't do the chicken and the beer and the orange juice, I wanted to have a little bit of a different taste, kind of more of a lime taste. With the pulled pork, after I cut it up, kind of shredded it. I did add the zest of the four oranges and a quarter cup of the Modelo just to kind of brighten it up. But we did have some gluten-free folks at the party, so I wanted to make sure, because the beer was in the pork, I wanted to make sure the chicken also had that the chicken was gluten-free. So that's why I just did the lime juice and apple cider vinegar to keep it moist.
It came out amazing.
Thank you.
It came out amazing. ate it twice.
both meats?
Yes. I went up for twice.
Oh, yeah. I know my brother-in-law, I think his first two plates were just meat, not any of the sides. Yes, just meat. Yeah, not
any of the sides. And we told him, like, what about the rest?
Yeah.
Then he went back and got some.
Yeah. I know didn't eat too much at the party because there's a lot going on, but last night, you know, after having a couple drinks around the fire pit, I was like, I need some tacos, and I piled mine with, like, guacamole and everything, so. But it was good. And then I did a couple desserts. Another time-saving tip is you can use box cakes. You can juice them up different ways. Mm-hmm. I used a box strawberry cake, and then I made the lime buttercream fresh with lime zest, lime juice. Kind of had the Fiesta colors with it. Also had those kind of Fiesta margarita flavors. And then I did a gluten-free vanilla pinata cake that had, you know, M&Ms and sprinkles in it for my mother-in-law. And then it had orange buttercream on there, too. So you still had kind of that citrusy flavors throughout the desserts. But I did make that cake from scratch. So we had a gluten-free option. But my mother-in-law very much enjoyed it. She actually cried out of tears of happiness. I did even have a little pinata for my 2.5-year-old nephew. Did you witness the whole pinata thing?
I witnessed not all of it.
I was inside. The starting. Okay, you gotta tell the pinata story because
the pinata story. Okay. when I saw it when I came out, she was welling on the box. The box was very constructed very well because I couldn't see it. But there again, she was using the bat with foam, like a Nerf bat. So she's welling on it, and nothing happening. So she gets it on the floor and starts beating it again, again, and again. And she cracked it a little bit, and then some of the cans start popping out. So, what's the name?
Caleb.
Caleb picked up the candy, put it right back inside, and she's trying to break it for him so he can get all the candy. And he's putting it back in inside, and then she keeps hitting it and hitting it and hitting it and doesn't even open. It won't open. I'm like, it's a bat. I'm like, this has to be the bat. There's no way she's hitting that many times and that.
I mean, I stuffed that thing full of candy, but it's just like
she
cardboard.
She was hitting it. Like she was giving it her all. And it ended up to a point where they just like, you know what? They ripped it. It was ripped enough that they can get the candy out, but
yeah.
I guess they wanted to actually destroy it. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. And everybody's like, Jesus Christ, you can't even open that one?
Yeah, it wasn't even 6 inches tall. It's like it was like a little dinosaur pinata. Mm-hmm. I think it cost me maybe $3 or $4 at Walmart. It was pretty cheap. So it's not like a well constructed, fancy pinata.
But from what I've seen, it was. Give me a golf club. Let me see if it will. I well out on it one time.
Yeah.
If it lasts that one, it's a good one.
Yeah. And then we also have. I think I flew through those recipes.
No, you did. Yes, you did.
I flew but through those.
Trust me, it was good. Yeah. I should try it.
And I have, I'll get some of those recipes on our wherever pages and stuff once we get everything set up.
You have some pictures of it?
I do have some pictures.
You do? Okay.
Finally.
So we do have the Instagram.
Right. So I do have... I took the pictures of the pork and the chicken a little bit too late, but I do have some pictures of the street corn salad. What?
Send it over to me, so I'll post it on the page. It's gonna be actually the first post of on
Instagram. I'm trying. I'm getting there to post. I do have pictures of. We're about to talk about the Derby Day.
Yes.
Kind of theme. We were late on the Kentucky Derby, but. I don't know.
But before we get there, just so you get these pictures of this pork and chicken, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Our Instagram is going to be AVT_barbecue_pit_talk. Sorry, it's just the only way it would work.
Hey, that's fine.
I tried all different ways. I put it all together, and it's just confusing. So
get there again. Why don't you repeat that? Because I didn't even get off that.
I'm going to repeat it. So it's going to be AVT_. Because AVT stands for all very tasty, guys. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows.
And it's also a little acronym of our names as well.
Correct. So. BBQ_pit_talk. And then talk.
Okay.
And that's it. No underscore after that.
And that's our.
That's our Instagram. Add us. Follow us. And
Love us, yes.
And we're going to share our photos, our cooking, our recipes, our everything. And have fun, you know?
Right. So we're going to talk about another theme party. We just started making recipes that kind of fit this theme. The Kentucky Derby, the 146th race of the Kentucky Derby, was over Labor Day weekend. I thought it was a couple weekends later and we're off, and I'm a horrible Kentuckian and I will apologize. So I didn't even watch it. I thought time and space, you're on quarantine time, who knows, whatever my excuse is, we're a little bit late to it. But we did kind of come up with a meal profile, recipe profile to fit the kind of a Kentucky Derby Day theme. some fun facts. Yes, I don't know if our first episode's out yet or if we're just chucking that one and this one's more fun.
Mm-hmm. we'll work at it.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Kentucky. I'm a transplant to Jersey. Right now, about 6 years or so. Or I guess, actually, probably in a week, it's probably 6 years. Wow.
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 6 years of anniversary being here. 6 years,
I know.
How do you like it?
There are things I like. I like the rapidness. I was already that person. Mm-hmm. I was faster than Kentucky. So the go, 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 come on, let's go. And I like the sarcasm and you tell me how it is to my face. I'm already that kind of person, so kind
of. You fit right in.
Yeah, I'm kind of. In Kentucky, I'm probably kind of rude, sarcastic, mm-hmm. bitchy. And here, it's like, oh, whatever. It's just another Jerseyan, you know? Like, yeah. So,
or a New Yorker.
New York, yeah. So it's. I already kind of had that vibes going mm-hmm. anyway, so I think fitting here. I know when I, was with Jesse and going to his family functions and things like that, I'm like, why is there Big Ziti at every meal? Mind you, he's half Italian, but even the other side, there's Big Ziti everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I never even had Big Ziti until I moved up here. I've had pasta and things like that, yeah. But usually, like, Alfredo or lasagna, you know, more of the basic mm-hmm. stuff. But I'm just, why is it at every meal? It didn't make sense.
Yeah, raviolis and stuffed shells. Oh, you know, my stuffed shells, have you?
I haven't had your stuffed shells. So that's something you're going to, maybe we can smoke them.
Ooh, that's a great idea. Wow, that is a great idea.
Yeah.
I definitely do that.
Because, you know, certain cheeses take on the smoke flavor really good. So, but anyway, I know when he came to Kentucky the first time, he said, why is there country ham at every meal? So, you know, subtle differences. So, so the Kentucky Derby, actually, fun fact, we call it a middle school. I think up here they call it intermediate school. My middle school where our mascot was the Colts. So actually our middle school families were different horse
breeds. So every class was a different horse breed.
Yeah, so let's say in sixth grade I was a thoroughbred, but they also had stallions and, you know, something mm-hmm. else. Seventh grade I was a Pegasus, but they also had a couple other things. I know in eighth grade I was an Arabian. I can't remember all the other I'm sure they had, you know, Appaloosas and all the, you know.
Was it kindergarten what do you call it? A unicorn?
No, they did have a unicorn. No, so this was only in middle school. I don't know if it's just a play on our mascot was uh-huh. a colt, but yeah, but they named the families after different colt, okay. After different horse breeds. Mm-hmm. But elementary school, we would have a different mascot. Then you had your middle school, and then high school were different.
Gotcha. Mascots, so. And they were all horses.
And middle school was all horses.
Okay, middle school.
I think the only thing about high school is. We were the second high school in the county. There's the one before us. When I was growing up, there were three high schools in the county. Mm-hmm. In the county. And I'm, you know, around Toms River, there's, I think, three or four high schools. So that's also a difference of how spread out it is. We were called by the original high school Pig Farmers. So we would have Pig Farmer Day. So we'd wear overalls and, mm-hmm. you know, flannel shirts and stuff like that. So. Because there's a lot of pig farms and cattle farms. My grandpa was like a big livestock dealer mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So there's that's what we're known for. So
that's
pig
awesome.
Farmers. Yeah,
I would love dressing overall.
It's comfy. Yeah, it's comfy. But anyway, so Alex, you made a great smoked chicken, and we kind of. I don't think we had a barbecue sauce off as much as...
No, we worked just, together.
Yeah, as I already had a barbecue sauce that mm-hmm. I like to prep and freeze things. Just, hey, I have a sauce already. It's one less thing you have to do.
Correct.
And then we also
made one on the spot mm-hmm. just for the chicken. And then halfway through it, we decided, let's do one chicken cooked. We smoked two.
Mm-hmm.
One chicken, we used the sauce we made, and one on the other chicken, we used one of the sauce you brought.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out great. Either one of them tasted amazing.
Oh, yeah. They're so good.
It tasted so good. So the story of, you want to know how I made it, how I started it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Tell me the whole process. You heard all my meats.
Yes, your whole process. Okay. My process was like I decided out of the blue to smoke chicken. Why? It's the fastest thing, one of the easiest things mm-hmm. to do. So I took it off the freezer. I have a couple in there always. And as it was defrosting, I was taking my time and thinking about it, how I'm going to cook it, what I'm going to do with it, why I'm doing it, right? Decided to do it, so I'm going to do it. So until it got defrosted, I still yet had to come up to a decision. So the last time I cooked the chicken in whole. I didn't cut it, didn't do anything. I cleaned it, you know, brined it, and cooked it. So this time I said, you know what, let me do it differently. I'm going to open it up and spatchcock it. My first time doing it, I want to see how it goes. So I opened it up, spatchcocking it. It was kind of hard, but I kept it all together, and I got it done right. And then put it in the brine. Every time I put a chicken, always got to be in the brine. Because you don't get that taste. Mm-hmm. You need that taste. So.
And the chicken dries out so fast sometimes, too. Yes. It helps moisten it.
It moistens it and everything. So, Brian, that was no deal for me. So I decided to go with a plain beige one that I can make. So I decided to get the water boiling. Put a kosher salt, black pepper. I put in a little bit of cayenne pepper and then paprika in it. Mm-hmm. And then let it simmer down and let it boil a little bit longer, and then took it off the boiler and just let it get to the room temperature. Mm-hmm. And once it reached room temperature, I got a large pot, put the two chickens inside of it, and then pour the brine that I just cooked into it. Just let it brine overnight. So when I woke up in the morning, the first thing I did is go downstairs, picked it up, take the chicken out of the brine, rinse it off a little bit, and then dry them out from the liquid, from all the water that I was running off of it. Mm-hmm. Just so it could soak up a little bit of the meat could soak up a little bit of the dry rub. So I got together and decided, let me see what I put on the dry rub. Dry rub was like pretty much brown sugar, paprika, salt, black pepper, coriander, garlic, onion powder, cayenne, basil, and celery salt. We did put celery salt in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I brought the celery salt.
So we used all of that as a dry rub, mixed it very well, and I heavily rubbed it all over the chicken, both sides, in and out, all the crevices and everything. And then we put it in the smoker for 250 degrees. My pellet smoker, I believe I was using hickory wood for that. Taste, and then...
And you couldn't even... Sometimes hickory can overpower the chicken. It didn't overpower this at all. Because I know... I don't know. I like to try different mm-hmm. wood and flavors, and I know I used apple for that just to kind of get a little bit of sweetness, because, mm-hmm. you know, Fiesta, you have a lot of spice in there, but...
Correct.
But, yeah, it didn't overpower the chicken at all.
So I smoked that with the skin down first, because I said I cut it up, skin down first, and we smoked that for an hour without pouring anything on it and anything, just like that. Mm-hmm. Then we flipped it after the hour, and then 30 to 45 minutes later, we came back, and we actually made the sauces. And we actually made the Kentucky chicken sauce. Well, Kentucky bourbon sauce.
Similar to kind of like a, not a basic, it's a kind of a basic barbecue, you know, but it's with a kind of like a Kentucky bourbon spin on it, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say generic or base. You had your kind of ketchup, and you had the brown sugar to sweeten it. Correct. And some molasses to give it a lot of deeper flavor, and then the bourbon.
And everything else in there. We mixed it, and we cooked it until it becomes somewhat to a harder paste,
mm-hmm.
but it was still liquidy.
Yeah.
That is liquidy.
Like a barbecue sauce. Yeah, it's thick like that, and I think it's more of a tomato base, what you would normally see as barbecue mm-hmm. sauce, because I also brought over a blackberry bourbon barbecue sauce, so that's kind of purpley, so it kind of looks a little funny compared to other barbecue sauces, blackberries, I remember all the time as a kid going around outside, you know, in the woods, picking back blackberries off the bushes and eating them and stuff, and
correct,
which I mean I wouldn't probably advise kids go do now, but
yeah.
Who knows what berries you're eating, but you know, whatever, your kids, and you know, blackberries are pretty easy to recognize. But so I brought that both sauces are great. I don't think there was a winner. I think no, we were the winners because we got both of them.
We made both of them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
we're definitely the winners. Nobody loses from the barbecue.
No, nobody loses. So I know my husband was telling his uncle last night. Anthony stayed a little bit late when we had the fire going and stuff, and he's like, yeah. You know, some wives have, you know, shopping addiction, shoes and, you know, clothes and yeah. stuff. He's like, my wife likes to cook and smoke meat, you know, poor me.
Poor me.
He's like, I got to do what I got to do to support you. And, you know.
Yeah, I'll eat everything. Don't worry.
Yeah. So we also with that to kind of piggyback on the kind of Kentucky smoked barbecue sauce chicken. I made cheesy grits. So usually they're called Derby Day grits. So it's almost like a cheesy grit souffle. I typically cook my my grits with the bottoms of green onions. I know it's a theme. And I've saved the tops to top it off. And some chicken stock. And that's how I stir and make my grits. I also put, I like to use sharp white cheddar. I think that with the green onion kind of gives it a more adult flavor versus if you're just using, you know, regular cheddar, gives it that little bit of sharpness and a little bit of tang. And you split your eggs. So you put the egg yolks in. That cheese, milk, grit mixture, and then you beat your egg whites until they're stiff peaks, almost like a meringue, and then you fold that in to your kind of cheesy grit mixture, and you bake it in the oven. If you're making a smaller portion, about an hour. I had a big pan, it was pretty full, so it took about an hour and a half. So that was really good. I know before I made my husband and my sister-in-law, his sister, did not eat grits until I started making them for them. So, but it also helps when you put, you know, chicken flavors and cheese and anything. They typically tend to eat that. And then I also, country green beans, also known as like cooked to death green beans. I had fresh green beans, onion, some chicken stock, a ham hock, garlic, some Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper. Threw that in a crock pot, cook it 8 to 10 hours on low. If you want it a little bit faster, 4 to 5 hours on high. They get nice and juicy, and that ham hock, especially smoked ham hock, gives it a lot of flavor, and you get some of those ham hock chunks, which are always good. So we kind of fit that as a Derby Day theme. And if you're wondering, why are we going Fiesta and, you know, Derby Day? Well, sometimes the Kentucky Derby actually falls on Cinco de Mayo. So you can actually kind of mix some of these things, you know, some of these recipes, and kind of have a blend of these. You know, usually a typical Derby Day drink are, you know, you have your mint julep, which is actually very similar to a mojito, if you think about it. So you can even have that as a drink bar, you know, you crush mint and stuff, and you can have your it's clear rum, right? In a mojito. This is how clear much I rum, drink. Yes. This is how much I drink mojitos.
Yes, clear rum.
Clear rum, and then, you know, bourbon. It's all, you know, they're all very similar. So you can even have that. That going, honestly, you can have whiskey sours and then kind of, you know, margaritas if you want some drink kind of mixtures. Other ideas, you can always make fried chicken. You can always make burgoo, which is kind of like a Kentucky gumbo. You can kind of put any sort of meat on there, so you can go healthier, you know, leaner chicken, or you can do beef. Usually that kind of has it's a broth base, and it usually has some okra and tomatoes in it. And then you can always, easy desserts for Derby Day, you know, bourbon balls, Derby Day pie, which is like a chocolate walnut pie. Kentucky butter cake. There's a bunch of different things. You can, you know, look it up. I was looking up, just trying to research and have some talking points today. Churchill Downs has got recipes on there, which is the racetrack where they, where the whole Kentucky Derby. So you have Oaks Day on the Friday, you have Derby Day on the Saturday. Churchill Downs is the actual racetrack where they have it, and they have all these recipes. They have cheesy grits. They usually serve theirs with shrimp, which you kind of more think of a South Carolina, you know, kind of coastal thing, shrimp and grits, or even Louisiana. But anyway, so yeah, there's a ton of different ideas out there, but these two actually can serve a common purpose. So you can actually kind of mix ideas, because corn, you can find it anywhere in, you know, Kentucky, or you can even kind of use that Fiesta, you know, mix that Fiesta, or the Mexican street corn, and with some of those cheesy grit ideas. So, yeah. So talking about party planning, and especially if you Alex, I don't know. Let's say I got my first house, my first apartment. I want to, you know, have a party. What are some tips that you have? What are some, you know, kind of creative ideas you have?
When I think about a party, when just a party without a theme or anything like that, is what kind of... It's kind of hard, but yeah, you got to ask the question because there's so many different type of food out there. Is what kind of people are coming over? Like they're Hispanic, or you know they're English. Not because I don't want to be getting racial stuff, because of the type of food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to make something different that they never had before, and you want to do something that they already have, or you want to do something that they already eaten but with a twist? It all depends. It's just so many different type of foods out there. Or Italians, you would go to the pasta way other than the barbecue way. Mm. It all depends.
I think you're saying it kind of in a roundabout way. Know your audience. Some people are picky eaters, and they mm-hmm. kind of want the same thing over and over again.
Correct.
Like, and especially if they're very culturally tied to
if,
it.
It's, so. It's not even culturally tied to a certain type of foods. Mm-hmm. And then if they like that, that's fine. And then we can just, if you like to put a twist, or if you want to stay with that theme, you can figure it out. Mm-hmm. It all depends what you want to do. In the end of the day, it's all about you. If you don't care, then do whatever you want to do, like a barbecue theme or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do barbecues. The reason why I barbecues is because that's when everybody actually slows down, stops, talks to you, you know, enjoy the meat, enjoy the barbecue, enjoy all the side dishes, enjoy the dessert, enjoy the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love barbecue.
Yeah.
It's not like something that you can put it back in the plate and run with it. You know, you can't. You got to wait. You got to, you know, hang around, talk to us. You're going to see the meat being cooked. You're going to like that. And you're going to can't wait to eat it. And once you eat it, you're going to enjoy it with everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why barbecue to me is the best.
Yeah, and I also know your audience, you know, especially today's world, everybody's got different allergies and stuff like that. And the last thing you want to do is accidentally offend somebody and not have something that can... Not necessarily always cater. Every dish doesn't have to cater to that person, yes. But they at least need to have a couple options.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the only one big obstacle that I have that I was not used to it, which is becoming a thing with a lot of people now, is the gluten-free. People want gluten-free, and I'm like, wow. And I didn't know half of the stuff I cook was gluten-free.
Yeah. So barbecue, you're pretty safe, but you know.
Barbecue, pretty safe, and then the side dishes, for the most part, if you stay within the range, you'd be able to eat all mm-hmm. of them, because rice and beans stuff, depending if you don't put certain things inside mm-hmm. of them. If you cook them the basic way, they're gluten free.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong with it.
Yeah,
that's why I like it. So yes, the allergy and stuff like that, you got to watch out for, and the gluten free for me is the biggest one for me.
Yeah,
because I love bread, anything with flour, I love it.
Yeah.
So for me, it's kind of hard at the same time, but a lot of stuff.
You have family members that are. Correct. Yeah,
but I have other stuff that I can cook that's not gluten-free that I love as well. It doesn't have to have flour. Not everything I cook has to have flour.
Right.
But a lot of stuff that I love has flour in it. So I'm just going to keep an eye out for it. That's all. And make sure you don't forget it, because sometimes I forget. Like, I'm cooking, and I'm like, certain person not going to come to the party, because I want to make sure that they are going to have food. And they'll tell, oh, they might not be coming. I'm like, okay. And I dump it into a flour or something that it can't eat it now.
Yeah.
And then I don't know where they're like, oh, they're coming. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Now I got to cook something else for them or cook the same thing, but I'm mixing it.
Yeah.
And it becomes that way, but it's fine. If you're going to throw a party, just throw a party and just go buy it. I'm sure there's always a million different ways you make something.
Yeah, and the people that get easily offended, they're always going to be offended too. So it's at least if you make an effort, the most reasonable people are very appreciative mm-hmm. of it. So that's you know, I know, you know, your family members that came gluten-free. Okay, hey, not both meats were, but I did. Most people like chicken. Chicken's pretty versatile. So I'm like, hey, that one is.
Well, my issue is even worse. If you cook rice but you don't have beans, mm-hmm. oh, it's a big no-no in my family. Cooking rice, where's the beans?
Yeah.
What? No.
No.
Doesn't work that way. With a Brazilian house, if you cook rice, you got to make beans. I don't care what type of beans it's going to be.
Yeah.
It has to have beans. Rice and beans every single day, every single meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
For some people get sick, I don't. I can eat rice and beans every single day, even though I know it's not good for you.
Well, I try to make healthy casseroles mm-hmm. and freeze them and stuff throughout the week, and then, you know, weekends kind of time to splurge and, you know, mess with recipes, but I use a lot of brown rice to get that healthy. Those are healthy carbs. The white rice is when all the nutrients and stuff are stripped from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you kind of have to, you know, but beans are always, it depends what you put in the beans. The beans themselves are, you know, good full of fiber, mm-hmm. protein, cheap too. But what you put into the beans. So like, I like to put in ham hocks and stuff like that. That's not making it into the healthy direction.
But. Mm-hmm. And that's becoming a whole different type of cooking. Mm-hmm. Now you're cooking not for the taste. Well, you're always cooking for the taste,
mm-hmm.
but you're cooking for it to be healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes different. It becomes harder because now you have to put something else in the mix.
Yeah.
That you're already cooking some type of way. Now you got to cook differently now and figure it out. Taking out the best stuff out, putting some healthy stuff in, and try to catch the taste good part.
Yeah.
Tasty.
And it may even just be reducing, like, if I'm, you know, cooking something, let's say if I normally cook beans mm-hmm. in chicken stock, maybe just, okay, half chicken stock, half water. So you're still getting that remnants of that taste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still there, just not as strong as it once was. Exactly.
So it all depends, all different type of cooking. You just got to work with it and play with it and learn it from it. That's all.
Yeah. Some other party planning tips that I have written down. I like to plan a menu 2 to 4 weeks beforehand. It depends on the size. If it's only a few people, I can usually throw something together.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having, you know, like the fiesta that I threw, I had the menu probably about 3 weeks beforehand or so mm-hmm. in my head. Because you also want to think about execution times. You also want to enjoy yourself at your own party. You don't want to be in the kitchen cooking all the time. You want to be able to socialize and mingle. So think about that menu and also think about what some of those tools you have and those appliances you have in your house. A crock pot is a really easy way.
Easy way.
You have to throw it in early in the morning, but, you know, it's a very low and slow cooker,
and it takes a lot of time away from you. Gives you a lot of time because you can work with it, walk away from it, do something else, mm-hmm. come back. And a lot of times you come back to stir it to make sure it's not getting burned in the bottom.
Yeah, and you can taste it as you go, and then I need to add something to this. And it's not going to burn so fast if you leave it on the stove and forget about it or in the oven. So that's definitely a good one. I recently just got, I'm really late to this, but I recently got an Instant Pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made fast barbecue chicken, not fully smoked. And that, I took some chicken thighs, and I put in a little bit of chicken stock, celery, some barbecue sauce, and, like, put it in the pressure cooker. It took longer to get to pressure than it did to kind of mm-hmm. cook them. And then threw them in the oven with some barbecue sauce just on the broiler just to kind of get a little bit crispy for the barbecue sauce, and that was such a time saver.
Gotcha.
You know, versus getting your smoker going and all that stuff, you mm-hmm. know, there are other options. I know we're going to probably talk in a later show about some holiday prep and holiday ideas.
Yes, we are.
I have a roaster oven that I've used in the past for a turkey, but you can also do it for another main. And another reason to plan a menu, because your oven's only so big, or your smoker, you know, can only do one temp at a time. Most smokers only do one temp at a time.
Or it doesn't have enough space
for everything. So, so planning out the menu. And also delegate to folks. Hey, can I bring something? Yeah, ask them to bring something. If you know their strong point, I'm not the best at making rice. Obviously, Laura is. And now it's her job. So,
mm-hmm. That's
my job. Yeah, so... hey, that was one less hot item I had to get ready. Mm-hmm. So that's why I did the corn salad. That's a cold item. I just had to throw it together, mix it. That's ready to go for the day. The beans, I had it together, just had to throw it in the oven. So kind of planning the menu, also building a schedule. What can you do in advance? You know, I like to buy things on sale, especially meats. Okay, when do I need to start thawing them? Because I need a... let's say 12-hour wet brine, and I want the dry rub on it for another 12. Like,
correct.
When do I need it thawed by? When do I need it?
And there's also another thing is when you're cooking things, understand how long it cooks. Mm-hmm. Don't estimate and don't try to rush it. Understand how it looks, respect that, and just make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, if you know cooking the beans takes me 2 or 3 hours, whatever it is, how long, you start before. If you still want that extra hour before the guest comes there, and you want the beans done within an hour, start 4 hours before.
Yeah.
And that way, what is it we're trying to say? Don't procrastinate the food or the starting time. you know, get it ready. Be ready for it. Be ready to start early. Be ready to get everything done. Wake up early and get that stuff done.
Absolutely. With that pulled pork, it took a while. Apparently, my husband does not like me using Everclear as my fire accelerant.
Yeah.
He eventually went out and got lighter fluid. It took a while. The Everclear was burning off a little too fast for the coals. It took a while.
To catch.
Yeah, to catch. So I started this. I started the smoking 2 hours before I wanted done. Because like, worst case scenario, if you wrap everything, put in your oven like 175, 180, 200, it keeps everything warm. Okay. And you have foil on top. It's going to keep that moisture in. So I didn't mind to start early. I had getting the coals to catch yesterday. Took about an extra half an hour than I had planned.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had chicken and pork on one side, it wasn't as hot on one side because I started the coals on there, and before I put the chicken in, I'll start slowly getting the hot coals to that side to make sure that side of the box was hot. So the whole top wasn't, for the Caja China, wasn't so, wasn't all the way covered, and I didn't, you know, I was, in my head it made sense at the time, but I'm really glad because I was literally pulling the pork out probably right when people were coming in.
Gotcha.
And it was time, it still was ready in time for folks to eat, you know, but I'm glad I padded those extra couple hours
because
you always have setbacks.
And another thing too, the one thing I do with, you said you had a problem with the charcoal and getting charcoal started, because I know you're doing right on top of the whole thing. I used to have that issue, not anymore, because I love it's an old way that my Brazilian family taught me how to do the pyramid, put the paper in the middle, get that caught on fire, and then it will catch. The whole thing will catch on fire. Don't have to worry about it. You can walk away. You don't have to blow on it. It will do itself.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was walking into...
Kind of like if you started a fire pit. I'm just...
No. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so I'm just impatient. I just went through clear on it.
No. I went to the Home Depot and Lowe's, and they had the Weber charcoal starter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same concept. I was like, wow. So it's like pretty much putting paper in the bottom, which... I have to put grease on it. It takes longer to burn if you put grease on it. If you don't have grease from a cook before, I use oil, regular cooking oil.
Yeah.
Paper towels, cooking oil.
Like cheap, like vegetable oil or something. You're
exactly.
Not break
the bag. Put it right in there. Put it in the bottom. Mm-hmm. Fill up the chip, the whole thing, as much you can fill up with charcoal. Turn on the fire. Walk away. Literally 10 minutes later, the whole thing is ready to catch on fire, like plain freaking red, cherry red metal, ready to go.
Yeah.
And just trimming it up. 5 to 10 minutes later. So learn the techniques, buy accessories. I love the accessories because they help you.
Yeah.
So that time that you got to go out, he had to go out and buy stuff. It's something else you
could
be working on.
Well, I got it going before he came back with lighter fluid, but I was getting a little impatient. But
I have a thing with lighter fluid. I don't like cooking with lighter fluid. Because I've seen somebody cooked up started the fire with lighter fluid.
They put way too much on it, I'm sure.
And I could taste the lighter fluid in the burger. I was like, no.
They put way too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have a thing with lighter fluid. I would never start a fire with lighter fluid.
Yeah.
Well, a fire pit, yes. Anything that I have to cook with, no.
Mm-hmm.
And the accessories for the charcoal is a good thing to have. Because start it quick, start it fast, going to get a burger going, stuff like that. That's what I do. Usually, you don't want to get the barbecue or anything going for a longer period of time because you're just burning charcoal for no reason.
Yeah.
Can't throw the meat there in there yet because the time in between so far off. You don't want to throw, you want to keep burning charcoal for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the charcoal accessories for starters, at least, is worth to have.
Yeah. And then if you also, any of your friend, you know, your best friend or whoever that's coming to your little party or maybe a relative, have them come over early and help you. Something's going to go wrong and, you know, make sure you have something, depending on the dependability of the person, either something easy for them to do or if you know they can, I gave Rachel a bag, and I was like, go decorate the basement. I know she's got it. Like, I don't have to.
Yeah.
I was like, you got this. I'm not going to micromanage that, you know. So, you know, have some support. There's nothing wrong with asking for help, so.
Yeah, and everybody's willing to help,
trust
me. Especially when you're cooking the meat, they know to help you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure you got all of that attention to the cooking.
Oh, yeah, my brother-in-law, I had him transfer all the stuff. This is normally his job when he's over. I had him transfer all the stuff in the basement and put it on the trays, and then he got one of the first cuts of meat off the pulled pork, so he was happy. So.
He was happy, yeah. Way to go.
Yeah, so those are sort of party planning tips, and again, Alex was hitting on that point. Understand the food you're cooking, how long it takes, you know, that's really really important. I'm sure we'll have some.
Because you don't want to be at a party. Like, I've been in a party before where I didn't respect the time. And I started cooking when people got there. And they were waiting to eat. And the food still wasn't ready. Yeah. I'm like, it's not, you know what, never again. And now I cook.
I had that
before,
once. Yeah.
Before people get here, the grill's already going. Right before they get here. I already kind of know when they're going to get there. So right before they get there, I start get it going, get the fire on there. Get stuff cooking. Get stuff going. Because the one thing they're never going to talk to me again is it takes so long to cook. I'm like, it takes so long to cook. But I never hear you complaining how good it tastes.
That happened to me once. We were talking earlier about how when you're cooking pork, especially smoking it, sometimes it gets stuck at a degree. I had in a La Cajatina, I got 10 racks of ribs in there. I think it was last year, Labor Day. So 10 racks of ribs in there, or maybe the year before. Just because there's so many ribs in there, I was thinking, okay, it was going to take this amount of time. I gave myself an extra hour. I needed an extra probably 3 hours because so many ribs, and accounting for that, that center rib is going to be just as hot as, you know, the edge ribs. So,
correct.
I did had some folks waiting, and so that's the only time, though. They were not not disappointed, though, when those ribs came out.
No, they never are. But, yeah, just learn the cooking time. That's something to also. And if you don't know, that's why you start cooking throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
Not throughout the year.
Yeah.
And you learn the dishes here, how long this one takes, how long that one takes. And a lot of times you're going to start learning how to estimate these times, and you'll be good at it. And you know when you got to do it and when you're not.
Absolutely.
And just be ready because you want to enjoy the party.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's
the goal.
That's the goal. And also have some folks designated to clean up. You know, those people that are always showing up to the party late. Have them, they're already, you know, have them help clean up.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, you know, want to be environmentally conscious, but, you know, nothing wrong with, you know, some disposable pans and stuff here and there. You know, if it saves some time and some headache and, you know, that always helps at a party.
Clean up. Clean up is always horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But got to be done.
Absolutely.
And this is it for this episode. Hope you learned something from it.
Please comment any party planning tips and tricks you have, and we'll feature it on some of our future episodes. Also, we'll also share some of our pictures and recipes and some great ideas, even some tools that we use. Our Twitter handle is @AVTBBQ.
Where we're going to be posting one of the episodes that will be coming out. And also on our Instagram, AVT_barbecue_pit_talk. Sorry for all the underscores. That's the only way it will work. All right? And we'll post any information out there and just pictures and everything so you guys can enjoy it. If you have anything, comment on the pictures. Let us know. We'll talk back. Trust is just us.
Enjoy and keep smoking, and we'll see you next time.